Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone, on this 4th of July weekend. I hope everyone is doing well, and we're ready to go.
Yes. Is the American dream possible, or is it just a delusion of grandeur? Thanks for joining us tonight. You can call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from, turn off all background noises, and never speak over us as hosts. Visit our website for merchandise, T-shirts, coffee mugs, and baseball caps. They all will be available soon. Our website is www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Representing everything right when nut jobs hate in America, we're at Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, Laura, so where do we begin here? The American dream. Was the American dream, or was it a logical fallacy?
Well, a lot, you know, as we know, a lot of immigrants, just like my parents, came from Europe and for a better life. I think at that point in those years, back in the 40s and the 30s, when they were starting to migrate from Europe, I think there was a better chance of having the American dream with hard work then. I think a little bit more than there is now. I think there's a lot of obstacles that are thrown in front of a lot of people for many different reasons. And we can go into that. And the reason why that, you know, people have always come here because, you know, they just wanted to make new lives for themselves, make, you know, good money, have a nice home, a family, you know, and just, you know, live in democracy and in freedom. And all those things right now are being challenged. So we have to be aware of what's being challenged, and we have to try to put forward our hopes and our dreams and have other people realize what's happening in this country as well. So let's start with, you know, what are some of the things, what are some of the obstacles that people are facing?
Well, some of the obstacles people face where trying to achieve the American dream are gender, ethnicity, lack of education. The American dream has been cherished by everyone who comes to America, but not everyone achieves it due to the obstacles they face because of the things I just said. And the systemic racism that happens when you're non-white, you know, it really puts a damper on all your dreams and hopes. You could, you know, work hard. You could have 2-3 jobs. Work hard, you know, fight for what's yours, pay your taxes, what have you. And when you play it straight, you just get screwed by the system. You know, you come out of college, for example, you pay thousands of dollars in student loans or get student loans, and to pay it back now, you know, that's another thing that's killing the American dream. You know, Joe Biden tried to have the student debt relief program, and Republicans and the Supreme Court shot it down. That's one way of killing the American dream, but yet still, people who serve in Congress, there are a lot of them, got PPP loans that they didn't need, and yet still, they get forgiven PPP loans. No, isn't that a system stacked against, you know, regular folks who are just trying to go about a daily business and trying to pursue the American dream of happiness and liberty?
Yeah, and we can go through a few of those things this evening that I believe that the Supreme Court has done, and it has once again pushed people back from living the American dream or trying to achieve the American dream, even if they're born here, even if they're born here. And another thing that we have to talk about is gender. Gender plays a big role in the American dream, you know, and and especially if you're a woman, you know, it's implemented in our societies, our traditions, our cultures, you know, that there's jobs there, you know, and, you know, women were meant to stay home and raise the family, and we were stereotyped that way. But over the years, we've taken on a different role, and we've gone out to work. We have still raised our families, and you know, all those things. And we've had jobs and careers and gone off to college. But women are still not treated equally in pay and in many other ways in society in this country. And we can go through that as well.
Yeah, man. So women face pay differences because they have responsibilities they have to do at home. And they may not achieve higher education to afford a high-paying job, which is why there are more men working than women. In society, many people think that women are not able to take on leadership roles because they lack dominance, which creates less opportunities for women. Women of color are often biased when they work because they're different, which is why they get judged for or due to double standards and may get less support, which causes them to not be able to get a high-paying job. There are issues such as sexual harassment and abuse, which has caused a stir in society today with the Me Too movement. And on social media, society is accustomed to having women being at home instead of working and having men taking on a leadership role more than women. Therefore, the status quo has laid the foundation of the American dream, which leaves the woman to not take part in it. Langston Hughes wrote in I2, that was a book that he wrote, quote, "I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen when company comes." That just shows how there is a segregation going on between people of color and white people up to this day in society, and redlining and what have you. And that creates people of color that we're not treated equally because of skin color. Women are struggling to keep up with different jobs, and some of them could be single mothers that could be getting paid less than a boy who's in college working. Gender is one of the many reasons why people cannot attain the American dream. Furthermore, ethnicity can prevent people from achieving the American dream. People who have immigrated to the United States to achieve the American dream have a low chance of achieving it, because they are different from the majority or the higher class, even though the United States was formed by immigrants and people who wanted change. So, you know, it is known that the white people have a higher chance of achieving the American dream, while the minorities have a lower chance due to how their families started off. So you could be a generation of American, like five, six, seven generations, and you're well-established in everything, so generational wealth and knowledge. Have you? Perfect example of that is Donald Trump, where, you know, his father left him $400 million. And then, you know, of course, the story, the twisted story by the RNC is that, oh, you know, he started from scratch. While Joe Blow from Timbuktu come, and he would work his ass off two, three jobs. And, you know, have to pay taxes, have two or three kids to look after, you know, have to a wife and a mortgage to pay and school fees and food and, you know, all those things have to be considered and factored in. And, you know, when you're African-American here in America, you get the, you know, shaft, the crap end of the stick. Reason being is because of systemic racism, you know, from slave days right down to today, Jim Crow laws after 1865, which hold down black people. And if you're lucky enough, affirmative action helped you out. But no, affirmative action has been overturned thanks to the, you know, piss poor leadership of Clarence Thomas, who, you know, the system, affirmative action helped him, but yet still, you know, he voted against it to remove it. And, you know, the legacy of scholarships, what rich people get, you know, just because they have tons of money can contribute. And these rich people, some of their kids, not as half as bright as minority students or even women, but because of who the parents are, or the parents went to this college and they're giving so much money. You know, it's like a legacy contribution. So, you know, they're let into the college. They're not very bright, or not as half as bright as the minority students or the girl students, but yet still they get in. So this is the type of system America have, where they tend to like fight you and keep you down.
Well, it's not only African Americans. You know, it's Hispanics, Asians. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of minorities in this country, and we have to realize that, yes, this country, I'm starting to see more and more every day that the rich white man is really flexing his muscles these days. I mean, they really are. And it's become very evident with our Supreme Court rulings, especially the three that we're going to talk about this week, that they are very conservative, and also they feel they are elitist. And we do not need that in a Supreme Court. We need justices that are fair and are understanding of what people are going through in this country. And it seems that the Supreme Court that we have now, not all of them, mind you, the Supreme Court we have now, and we'll go through and say who they are, but they are the ones that are basically holding people down and holding people back and bringing us back and bringing the country backwards instead of forward. And we can't have that. So there has to be something done to the Supreme Court itself as far as term limits, or some of them have to, you know, be made to step down because of certain things that they have done and that we have found out that they've done. And, you know, they think that they're above judged or above the rules, and they're not. They're, when it comes down to it, they are human beings just like everybody else in this country. And just because they are a Supreme Court justice does not give them the right to be so elite that they forgot their roots. You can never forget your roots in your life, because the minute you forget your roots in your life, you're done. You're absolutely done. So that's how I feel about that.
Finish your point, because I want to play this almost 5-minute clip of George Carlin when he spoke about the American dream. Yeah, but make your point, and I'll play that clip.
Well, I mean, then, you know, well, we have the history of, you know, slavery and, you know, discrimination and the maltreatment and, you know, police brutality, and, you know, there are so many ugly things that I think the younger generation, like Gen Z and the millennials, do not notice the way other generations of the past have noticed and treated people. So I think there might be a lesson that a lot of us have to learn from the younger generation that is coming up right now. And go ahead, David.
Yes, ma'am. So this clip here is almost 5 minutes, and it's George Carlin, a former comedian who has since passed away. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what he would think about, you know, what America going through now, because, you know, he went on stage, you know, and said all these things, and he predicted it, you know, and his foresight was so on the mark. It's frightening. It's scary. So here's George Carlin talking about the American dream.
True lasting American value that's left, buying things. People spending money they don't have on things they don't need. So they can max out their credit cards and spend the rest of their lives paying 18% interest on something that costs $12.50. And they didn't like it when they got it home anyway. Not too bright, folks. Not too fucking bright. But if you talk to one of them about this, if you isolate one of them, you sit them down rationally, you talk to them about the low IQs and the dumb behavior and the bad decisions. By the way, they start talking about education. That's the big answer to everything. Education. They said, we need more money for education. We need more books, more teachers, more classrooms, more schools. We need more testing for the kids. You say to them, well, you know, we've tried all of that, and the kids still can't pass the tests. They say, oh, don't you worry about that. We're going to lower the passing grades. And that's what they do in a lot of these schools now. They lower the passing grades so more kids can pass. More kids pass, the school looks good, everybody's happy, the IQ of the country slips another 2 or 3 points, and pretty soon all you'll need to get into college is a fucking pencil. Got a pencil? Get the fuck in there. It's physics. Then everyone wonders why 17 other countries graduate more scientists than we do. Education. Politicians know that word. They use it on you. Politicians have traditionally hidden behind three things: the flag, the Bible, and children. No child left behind. No child left behind. Oh, really? Well, it wasn't long ago you were talking about giving kids a head start. Head start? Left behind? Someone's losing fucking ground here. But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're an irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, and city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media news, all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. You know? Nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it.
So that was George Carlin there in a stand-up comedy routine about talking about the American dream. And the only way it's an American dream is if you're asleep. You're dreaming about it. Yeah, so, you know, what you thought about that clip, Lori?
He was definitely a visionary, and he was spot on with most of everything that he said. I have nothing to disagree with, absolutely nothing, you know, because I don't know, but he was one intelligent man, and he knew what was coming. And many people in this country still, you know, as we live day after day and what, you know, the things that are happening in this country, you know, with the Supreme Court and everything that's going on. And most people don't even notice. They don't even notice what's happening. You know, it just, it makes you angry and like, get your head out of the sand, you know, type thing.
You know, my question is, though, Lawrence, my question is, students have to go through many sacrifices to achieve the American dream. They have to get a degree while trying to pay off tuition and plus interest in that tuition, and then get a job, and that job may pay less than a minimum wage, and sometimes the job is even an unpaid internship for a year. How do people in these corporations live with themselves, knowing that it's hard out there, and yet still, even though it may be a prestigious company, corporation, Wall Street, wherever, not pay the people, you know, money, you know, is an unpaid internship for a year for your degree. I mean, that's so evil, beyond evil, really.
Yes. You know, and like you said, you know, college students, you know, they have high gas prices to pay, you know, maybe they're lucky to help them with a vehicle to get back and forth to college. You know, then they have their jobs and, you know, they're studying to do. And on top of that, many of them have their student loans, you know, that the Supreme Court refuses to help them with. It is so appalling. It's just so maddening. Because how do they achieve the American dream? And like I said in the beginning, many of them are born here, and they can't achieve the American dream for those reasons. Talking to someone today, and he was telling me he lives in California now, went to college. He's working for the Young Turks, and he said that 80% of his paycheck. Now, mind you, he just, you know, got that job, just went to California because it's so expensive in California. About 80% of his paycheck goes for his apartment where he lives and gas money And then he has a little bit of money for food. That is unbelievable. So, you have to think about these things. And he's a young man. He's a very young man. So it's unattainable. And you hear these stories every day. It isn't just, you know, a random story. These people live these stories. I mean, they live this every single day. And, yes, a lot of them, anywhere from, you know, $50,000 worth of debt up to $300,000, $400,000, depending on, you know, what they're going to school for and how many years it's going to take them, you know. So it's wrong. It's just wrong.
Yeah. And even if this person who just come out of college fresh and ready to rumble in the real world get this internship job, you know, the job may pay less than minimum wage. Minimum wage nationally is $7.29 per hour. I mean, what can $7.29 per hour? Just put gas in your car and give you a little food, if so much. Students who are born into families that are not rich have less opportunities to build themselves, while a society favors those who has many skills, so there's favoritism towards people who are rich. For example, Aunt Becky from Full House, her two daughters, you know, they're quote-unquote influencers online. You know, they have no sport talent. They're not necessarily academic geniuses, but yet still, because she paid $500,000 or more, she got them into USC, and that's how the whole thing brought a proportion. No, not brought a proportion, but blew up in the faces, basically, where she and her husband went to jail because of the scheme that they had with that college cruise and everything.
And
you know,
how's
it fair?
Yeah, go ahead.
How's it fair that, you know, somebody who you get, you know, perfect scores in SATs or, you know, the whatever test that they do, but yet still these rich kids who live in Beverly Hills and wherever, you know, on social media influencing and getting tons of money with a makeup line and what have you, not one drop of talent in them, but because who the parents are, then they get through. It's disgusting. It should stop. It's like affirmative action for rich people.
And, you know, the kicker is that they didn't even really want to go to that college. They had no interest in going to college. It was their parents that wanted them to go to college. That's the kicker of the whole thing. You know, that's the sad part, is they didn't care. They, you know, they were doing what they wanted to do. There were influencers making money. And whatever else they were doing in their beauty lines. They didn't care about going to college and getting a degree, you know, but their parents did. And, you know, lo and behold, that's what happens. And it's just not right. Society has to change. It really does.
Yeah. And speaking about education, Ron DeSantis in Florida, the governor, this past week, in a press conference, he was saying that he'll get rid of the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, and IRS, you know, those three, and there's one more, I can't remember off the top of my head right now. And those things are important, you know, for America, especially the Department of Education. You know, long gone are days when America was in the top 10 of, like, you know, science discoveries of curing diseases and illnesses, you know, for creating stuff. You know, now we're like 127th in math, 115th in reading, you know, things like that. You know, why have we fallen so bottom of the barrel in terms of education? Why? Because Republicans and people like the prison industrial complex is like a chain where, you know, kids go to public school, public school is not funded. You know, the gallivant, waste time, what have you. They may come from a single-parent home. You know, they have all sorts of personal problems, you know. And, you know, the main physical assault a teacher, for example. Teacher called police. Police get him in. Boom, in jail. So it's this vicious cycle where, you know, it's from school to jail. As soon as you leave school, not even graduate, but leave school, boom, in jail. Why? You don't have a skill. You don't have an education. You'd be 16, 17 years old, can't read, you know, and nobody will want to hire you. and you just end up in jail, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just this vicious cycle.
You know, talking about DeSantis, you know, was going after the Department of Education, he's using to wage the war on woke, if you can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how ridiculous. So he went on Wednesday, the Florida governor and Republican president candidate went on Fox News, and of course it's Fox, and vowed to eliminate mm-hmm. the U.S. Department of Education, or if he can't use it, after going to woke ideology. Now, what is it? You know, what is that? Why would he want to go after? And you're right, David. He wants to go after the Department of Energy and the IRS to reduce the scope and the size of government. Now,
mm-hmm.
what's bigger than being in women's business when it comes to abortions? What's bigger business than that? You know, I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's big government. They want government to steal to people's lives, but yet still they want them in women's wombs and LGBT bedrooms. That's big government right there.
Yeah,
you know,
this is a question that he was asked. He said, "Are you in favor of eliminating any agencies?" And DeSantis
mm-hmm.
said, "We would do education, commerce, energy, and the IRS." If Congress won't
there
go that far, I'm going to use those agencies to push back against woke ideology. You know, there's something sadistically wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm. And
really,
you know, he's a hypocrite because
really
Ron DeSantis is a well-educated man, highly educated man.
Yep.
And he got all the perks and offers, you know,
yep,
and he has
yep.
a degree and he's a lawyer and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's woke. But, you know, other people, especially minorities and women who want an education, who want good jobs out there, who want to strive and achieve and accomplish and live the American dream, you know, it's like, oh, it's woke, it's bad. So you can get
mm-hmm.
all those things as governor of Florida
mm-hmm.
coming up
yeah.
and your set of people. But yet still, when others try, they're like, oh, woke, we should kill woke. Woke is, you know, woke is, Florida's where woke come to die. Well, it'll be a hot, you know, be a cold day in hell before Ron DeSantis become president of the United States. Tonight's topic, season 5, episode 14, American Dream, Logical Fallacy, or Living Nightmare. That's the focus tonight. Come on in. Call us, 515-605-9802, the number to call. Say your first name, where you're calling from. The website to visit, kitchenpolitics123.com. Go ahead, Lori.
The other thing that in this interview that he went on to say that is
mm-hmm.
if Congress doesn't help him abolish the agencies, then he would use
mm-hmm.
them to push against woke ideology, like I said, and against the leftism that we see creeping
mm-hmm.
into all institutions of American life. So, for example, he went on to say, with the Department of Education, we reverse all the transgender sports stuff, he continued. We reverse policies trying to inject the curriculum into our schools. That will be all
mm-hmm.
that all gone. We will make sure we have
mm-hmm.
a system for higher education, which is now trying to cement more things like DIE, DEI, and CRT. So we'll be prepared to do both. Either way, it will be a win for conservatives. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the White House playing a long game, actually. And CRT, again, is not taught in public schools. It is taught on a tertiary level. If you go to law
mm-hmm.
school, that's when they teach CRT.
Mm-hmm.
These banning the books is ridiculous. That's what Nats is. They take a page out of Nats' playbook about banning certain books and everything. That's un-American. And coincidentally, why the hell no ban Mein Kampf? Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, you know,
mm-hmm.
but yet still other books like Huckleberry Finn and other great books like To Kill a Mockingbird that banning. It's disgraceful what America has become.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's And this man wants to run for president, and he is basically a Hitler. That's what he is. I mean, how else? What else are we going to say about him? Except his policies.
A Hitler wannabe.
He's a Hitler wannabe. He sure is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pay attention.
Look what he's doing to migrants in his in his state, where he is signing the law, making it a felony to hire illegal immigrants to pick fruit to the construction work. And now everything is drying up in terms of those industries, and people are running from Florida because they'll all get caught and put in a jail, a private prison, and God knows what happened in there and how long they'll, like, get appealed
to
them
from the program.
Hello, welcome. Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome. How are you doing, Elaine?
Hi.
What's cooking tonight?
Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you're live on
air.
Oh, okay. Live.
There was a big, big cutoff there. I talked with a lady that has figured out what's going on with public education. She said between Betsy DeVos and DeSatan in Florida and the orange character that used to be in office, they want to eliminate public education so that our tax dollar funds every church school or religious school. In other words, children will be going to religious schools, and it will be funded by our tax dollar, and the secondary education will be the public schools. Their goal is to defund them, and their goal is to bust the teachers' union.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. See, the religious people have gotten on the bandwagon, the greed, and they want the tax dollar. Because they get more from the tax dollar than, I guess, they were getting from when they were charging.
Mm-hmm. Of course. It's always about
money. Well, I mean, this is another long game. We had better start paying attention. And ladies out there, pay attention. Pay attention. Yeah. They've come after our uterus. They're coming after our shoes. And what I mean by that is they're coming after our birth control.
Yeah.
And if we don't start playing hardball with these subjects, we're going to lose. And I mean hardball by demanding that men, when they reach puberty, get a vasectomy. And that men do not need the little blue pill. That's God's will. God's will means that they can no longer perform. So they don't need the pill.
You know,
I am done playing games. I'm out. I'm as David says. You know, you don't take just your fist to a knife fight.
Mm-hmm.
No, and you know, and like David said, you know, the Biden administration is playing the long game, but these people are evil to the core. You know, like the Moms Demand Action, they're all over the country, and they are being funded by very rich, elite people. They really are.
Yeah, DeVos is
moms
one of them. Koch Brothers is the other.
Yes.
You mean Moms for Liberty.
Yes, I meant to say, I'm sorry, Moms for Liberty. And they are being funded by very conservative people like DeVos. Absolutely. There's no doubt. I know that, you know, public education is a target. It sure is a target. And I hope that the teachers union is ready for a fight, because they have a fight coming. There is no doubt about it. And once they're in those school boards the way they want to be and controlling the school boards, there might not be any turning back. There might not be.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope people are paying attention. I truly do, because I see things going sour quickly. And I don't like the sound.
Laurie, what do you think?
Huh?
Yeah, Laurie, what do you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene recently saying that the 2024 agenda, what will be on top of the list, one of the things, is taking away free school lunches for public school kids? Do you think that's atrocious and disgraceful? You know, they have other things to legislate and talk about and debate about, but yet still, poor kids who can't afford even one meal a day. Sometimes the only meal for the day is from these schools. But yet still, Marjorie Taylor Greene and her Republican crazy caucus want to take that away. Why?
Of course, I don't understand why. That is the funny thing about everything. If you're a human being, you know what it feels like to be hungry. I mean, at some point in your life, you know what it feels like to be hungry. You know, maybe you missed a meal or... you know, not because you're poor, whatever the case is. Everyone knows what it feels to be hungry. And why do they want to make children suffer? We know that when you go to school hungry, how can you learn anything? You can't, because you're thinking about your stomach growling and you're, you know, not feeling well because you haven't eaten. So what is wrong with free lunches? What is wrong with helping other human beings? What is wrong with that? I mean,
Bingo. They have figured it out. When children are hungry, they don't learn. And a stupid society will keep putting them in office.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, how do we change the mindset? I mean, we have, you know, the Democrats that are fighting every day. And I have to say, they have been fighting. I've watched them on the floor in the House and the Senate, and I listened to them battle. But these Republicans, these MAGA Republicans that are in there are insane. I mean, they're so illogical, and they have so much hate that how do you cut through that? The only thing we can do is vote them out. That is it. That is it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law. Game, is getting
what we have to do is we just have to keep it the truth. And just because Michigan is setting pretty good right now, and there are some other states that are setting pretty good right now because they have the Democrats in power, that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. So what I'm trying to do every time I talk on this program, I want to reach every state, whether you're red, blue, or purple. I want to reach you, and you've got to be diligent, and you have to keep talking. You talk to people in the grocery line. You talk to the people when you go to eat. You just keep on talking, and you keep on telling people the truth. And when you're on social media, if you see something that is wrong, it is lies, report it. And keep reporting it. And keep fighting for the fairness doctrine. I'm starting to see slowly people reposting that they want the fairness doctrine. And the other thing we need to fight for is we need to fight for each vote counts. This electoral college is too easy to rig.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's definitely.
I call it legal rigging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think about, Laurie, the Supreme Court's ruling on affirmative action? I'm going to play a two-minute clip by MSNBC. Jonathan, what's his name? MSNBC, listen to this clip.
What do we know at this point? Well, that's right. Affirmative action has been blocked both for private and public colleges. This is in the UNC case and in the Harvard case. We thought there may be a split where they might say that it's unconstitutional for public universities taking public money, but perhaps not for private. But they said in both cases, college admissions cannot consider race as they try to diversify their student bodies. Now, this is overturning a 2003 opinion by then Justice Sotomayor, who said at that time, we hope in 25 years we won't have to look at race as a consideration in college, but that's just not the makeup of our country right now. Well, it's been 20 years, and these justices have said that the court, according to this opinion today, that they think that race should no longer be a consideration as colleges try to diversify. Going back to oral arguments, we heard then from Chief Justice Roberts saying, look, he basically saw it as being more racist in violation of Title 14 to look at race in considering who should be admitted to college. Harvard tried to argue This is just like trying to get an oboe player on our orchestra. We would look out for oboe players just like we would look at race and trying to diversify our student body. At the time, Chief Justice Roberts said no, because we didn't have a civil war over oboe players and we did over race. This will, of course, have historic impacts going forward as colleges try to diversify their student bodies, looking at other things like geographical factors, poverty, any adversity that students have overcome, but they can no longer look at race. It's something that's already happening in 8 states across the country. For example, in the public education system, the public system in California, they cannot look at race there. A lot of colleges have said it's been increasingly hard to keep their student bodies racially diverse. Hard to underestimate how big of a decision this is coming from the Supreme Court today. It may not be surprising given the composition of the court, but it will have long and lasting impacts on how colleges around the country diversify their student bodies without looking at race as a factor.
Yep. So there you have it right there.
How do you think,
Supreme Court.
How do you do that? Honestly and truly, how can you do that? When you're trying to apply for college, how can you do that? How can you make it a discussion of how, race has affected you, but yet you can't use that as a way to get into college. And I don't think many people do that. I mean, do you want to go into college and feel sorry for yourself? No. You want to go into college to become a better person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they even have to do this? I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's illogical in my mind. It just puts.
Yeah, I think this is a last ditch effort by the white political class, the 1% who make up the white people who make up 1%, they feel threatened that America is being, turned into this brown and, non-white majority country, and they feel threatened that there won't be the majority anymore, which soon and very soon that will happen within a generation or so. By 2040, 2045, we'll become a majority-minority country where black marry white marry Hispanic, Native American marry black, and so on. So the stranglehold that they've had since the 1600s when when the ship landed on Plymouth Rock, it won't be there anymore. And so because of this fear, this irrational fear, that how they treated, other minorities coming up through the centuries, that is what's going to happen to them now. Keep that in mind. That's why, the Supreme Court is the way it is now. People who think like that and have a Christian mindset base things off the Bible, what the Bible says. And that's why we need a separation between church and state. We'll have another call coming in. This is season 5, episode 14, American Dream, Logical Fallacy or Living Nightmare. This is The Focus Tonight, 515-605-9802. The website is kitchenpolitics123.com. And we're going to talk about soon how the Supreme Court rule against affirmative actions, the do's and the don'ts of what transpired and how they affect things going on forward. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Is that you, Susan?
Oh, you're talking to me? I thought somebody else talked. It's Susan from Michigan.
Hi, Susie. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Okay, I'm pissed. I have fears of Hitler and Mussolini. That's what's happening now. The white supremacists want to take over school boards, city boards, county boards. They're starting from the ground and ruining everything. Those stupid women, mothers of whatever at the school want to take over the school and only have what they want taught in the schools. Who wants to teach when you have to fight to teach what every kid should learn? And because of these idiots that want to control everything.
The other...
DeVos started this mess with Trump, you know, to take over public schools and make these voucher programs was the worst thing that could happen. And yet, you know, there they are. How do we get rid of it? It's just scaring the crap out of me right now. It's starting with the little kids, but it's insinuous into everything. And George Carlin was right on, you know, oh, my God. Yep. And, you know, like the poor hotel workers are going on strike. UPS is going on strike because they don't make enough. And they have horrible working conditions. They can't take time off. The railroad workers, all of them, you know, and they're going, oh, they're striking. Yeah, because they want to be paid fairly for fair work. I mean, cars. You can't even find a car for under $20,000 that won't fall apart. Forget about getting a house or an apartment anywhere in this country. It's a fortune. School is ridiculous. College is ridiculous. I mean, how tuition's out of sight. How can anybody go to school and work? You know, you're making very little while you're working because you don't have the experience. I mean, I worked my way through school. I mean, I keep on talking about it, but, you know, it was the 60s, 1966, because I graduated 65. I could go to Macomb, the community college, on $1.50 at the bank that I was making, $1.50 an hour, because they paid women less. And I paid my tuition, and I saved up for a car. And in a year and a half, I had my $2,500 for my car. I didn't get the Mustang that I wanted, but I got a car. A Mustang was $2,500 in 1965.
Yeah, try doing that.
So let me ask that question. So back in the 60s, even before that, after World War II, when, you know, the GI Bill was there, and some of the GIs who fought in World War II, who deserved the GI Bill treatment, didn't get it because of skin color. You know, so the Jim Crow laws were in effect and strong and active, you know, and, you know, I often hear people say, oh, we need to go back to those times where America was beautiful. And, you know, to me, that's not beautiful. You know, I mean, a lot of jobs were there. And after World War II, there was a boom in terms of having kids. And also the job market, because, you know, the car manufacturing industry was a good thing in Detroit, you know, but a lot of people, especially if you're not white, went through hell and still going through hell now. You know, back in the 60s, redlining with housing, that's another thing.
Yeah,
it's still
horrible.
It's still there. You know, Donald Trump and his idiot family.
And the guys came back from the war and threw out all the women out of jobs, so they had to go back to their home and be good little housewives back then. So, you know, women didn't work unless you were a nurse, maybe a secretary, but that was about it. And you had to get your butt out of the factories and all the high-paying jobs that they had and go back to being the little woman.
And teacher or librarian as well when the men came back from war. When did that go downhill? Was it after Vietnam where the counterculture came in? Or during Vietnam when the counterculture came in?
Yeah,
because it was
then. They had the riots for the war, but then they also had the race riots. I remember like 1968, around there, 68, 69. 67, 68 in Detroit, the riots were. And that was horrible.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it got better or not. I don't think so.
The city of Detroit, I can say, the city of Detroit is beautiful now. It has been 10 years. There are condos down there. There are businesses thriving down there. All our sports are in Detroit now. So the city of Detroit is better. Now, there's hospitals down there, the DMCs down there. So all the major hospitals, they were there as well. And I said, it's really nice down there. It's beautiful. It's all redone.
Isn't it like gentrified? You got the really nice neighborhoods, but you still got the crap on the outskirts of that.
I'm getting to that. So So what I'm saying is, yes, there is an area, and I don't know how many square miles it is. I mean, I've been down there many, many times, but there's restaurants that are opening, and there's boutiques, and it's beautiful. They opened up Belle Isle again, and so all these things are happening in Detroit. And yes, there are still areas that there is blight, where there's homes that are abandoned, or they were on fire and never taken care of, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But slowly, they are going through the neighborhoods, and they are trying to, bring things back to life. In other words, and they're trying.
There's even
to
a program on a couple guys from HGTV that go on and buy up the houses, fix them up to fix the blocks.
They're trying to bring it back.
Great to see. I'm really happy. I mean, I moved away in 1970, and so I haven't been back down there much.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
I'm glad to hear that's good.
No, you would not recognize it, but it's still. I mean, it's got its problems. Don't get me wrong,
I know. Still redline, though, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
As bad as it was, you would be very surprised if you went down there. You would be very, very surprised. That's all I've got to say. Like the condominiums and the apartments that they have there, they're really nice. I mean, they're nice.
Let me interject here, because we're going to this real nice, real nice. No, it's not real nice, real nice. What is happening is these condos and these houses that are being built are being built for the people who are rich, the people who can afford $2,000-$4,000 a month. Nothing is being built for the average person. Nothing is being built for the person that is just starting out. There are still hundreds and hundreds of acres that are full of blight houses, or they're just complete fields.
Mm-hmm.
No, we've got a long way to go. And I can explain what happened to Detroit and all the other
cities. And that's not just Detroit.
That was during Bush. I'm not done. That was during Bush. That was when everybody could get a loan. A house was worth $15,000, but no, the banks were lending you $60,000 and $70,000. If your basement was flooded, they called that an in-ground pool. The person that was selling the house got $15,000. The broker got a big chunk of that. And then the person buying the house got another $15,000 that supposedly they were use that money to fix the houses up. No, what did they do? They all went to Disney World. And in three to 4 months' time, they lost the houses. That's how all those houses ended up abandoned. House after house after house. That had to do with the lending. That had to do with the Bush years.
Yeah,
I know. I lived it. I worked downtown. I was in property management. I know what happened in Detroit.
Oh.
And then to add insult to injury, they started this academy crap, chartered schools. They call them academies to make them sound great. And then they were closing up public schools, and they were making the people get in a car and drive their children to schools that were on the other side of town. That's what destroyed Detroit. That's what destroyed Arizona, Chicago, et cetera, et cetera. I know. I lived at Highland Park. Highland Park went in the toilet when Chrysler's moved out.
Oh, yeah. But you have to admit, it is better down there than it was. I mean, they are...
Than it was, yes. But they're catering to the people with money. When are they going to cater to the average person?
Well, wait a minute. Now, most people that live in a big city have the money to spend to live down there. And I'm talking about in the Midtown and that area and Greektown and all that. The outskirts, like I was starting to say, have blight. And yes, it needs to be redone. And there are projects that are going on, but it's slowly and it takes time and money. And if you don't have the money, it's not going to get done. And we know how that works. like Rocket Mortgage. They own everything in Detroit. We know that, right? And the Red Wings family, the what's his name?
Illich.
Huh?
Illich.
Illich, yes.
Yeah.
He owns everything in Detroit. I mean, we know all of this, but what I was trying to say is that the city looks better. It is making money. People are working down there. And not everyone is rich that lives down there, but people are working in Detroit. I mean, they are. Things are getting better down there. So we eventually, will it mushroom out? I hope so. But it takes time. I mean, this is just, you know, the past 10 years, it's gotten better. That's what I think. So that's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
I live mm-hmm. in tourist city, right? We're all around, mm-hmm. up here is the Big Lakes. And people come up here to retire. They come up here to vacation. So mm-hmm. that is a problem here, too. You got the people with the money that buy the big condos or buy the big houses on the water that cost mm-hmm. millions or close to over, you know, we got on the lake right by my house, they were selling the lots. I mean, and this was like 30 years ago. The land was $8,000 a foot back then. I hate to see what it's now. I know they had a lot on Lake Michigan that went for $3 million, and it wasn't mm-hmm. big, and it was a pile of sand on top of that, you know, and the water goes up and your house can fall off. But our problem here is the people that work here can't afford to live here. There's no
yeah.
housing for working people.
Mm-hmm.
They just built yep. two small houses here in town, and it's supposed to be the first of four that are about 120,000 for they're mm-hmm. subsidized, like Habitat for Humanity and that. And mm-hmm. They will give them away to families. But they were supposed to do low-income apartments, and they were doing efficiencies. And I said, yeah, that's great for college kids in the summer, but what do you do with a single mom or a working family? A one apartment, a mm-hmm. One bedroom isn't enough, you know. And mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. all over up here. I mean, you got the haves, and then you got a lot of struggles, have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's mm-hmm. That is everywhere in this country.
I know. It's disgusting.
You know, when you have money, you can do whatever you want. When you have an abundance, you know, a lot of money, you can even do more. So that's just, you know, that's always been the American way here, you know.
Mm-hmm. But what's happening now is that they're not paying workers fair wages, and the corporations are making extreme
yes.
record profits.
Yes,
and that
are.
And the inflation we're still feeling is because the corporations, you know, like the potato chip guys, they have $4.50 for a tiny bag that's only half full with potato chips. You know, they don't have to do that. They can afford to, you know,
yes.
bring back down the prices. They don't. Or little teeny Kit Kats are half the size of what they used to be. It's,
yes.
I mean, like, ridiculous. And they think we're too stupid to understand
yes.
that they're giving us less for more money, and they're making profits that are astronomical. Same with the
yes.
cars and everything else. It's in
yeah.
the houses. Everything is so expensive. So who the hell is going to buy them?
I don't either. That or just people are deep debt. I don't know how else. I don't know how people do it. I truly don't. I mean, I look around where I live, and you know, homes are you know, in areas maybe a couple miles away. You know, they're starting at $400,000, $450,000. It's not even that big of a house. You know, it's just.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's so inflated. And
I know.
And
that's what it's doing up here, too, in the subdivisions and stuff. You can barely find a house for $350,000.
No.
Barely.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our wages, you know, wages are not, they don't match. They don't
no.
match.
No.
What is $15 an hour for somebody? You know, what is
but
$15?
The interest rates it's that not, they raised now, the mortgages are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Credit card rates are ridiculous. So you're cutting off your nose. If you go charge anything or buy anything on time, you're in debt
yeah.
for life. Heaven
yeah.
forbid
mm-hmm.
if you get sick. And
yeah.
and like mm-hmm. Carlin said, you know, there's no pensions anymore. Forget that. Mm-hmm. And your medical covers hardly anything anymore. If you have a catastrophic cancer or some other thing, you're screwed. And then they wonder why there's homeless. I was trying to explain to my granddaughter, oh, they don't work. I said they could have had sickness in their family and lost their house because they couldn't pay the bills. So that's what they're doing mm-hmm. and living in their car.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, another thing that I just want to, since we're talking about debt, you know, how President Biden wanted to, you know, help with student debt and, you know, the $20,000. I think another bill would really be nice if it was introduced, would be a great thing. If someone is, like Susie said, very ill, has cancer, and has a lot of medical bills, and you can prove that you can't pay those medical bills, because if you try to pay your medical bills, instead of your house payment or your car payment, you won't have those things, or you won't have food to eat or the medicine that you need to take to stay alive. Why can't they give some sort of relief to people that really need it to help spend down their medical debt as well? I don't think there would be anything wrong with that. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, reason being is because this is America, and if you're poor, you're screwed. If you're rich, you're all welcome in open arms. That's how the system is, and we need to change that system. I don't think that would change for now because, you know, seeing what's happening with the price gouging and everything, and corporations and rich individuals over the past 8 years have made $400 billion in profits.
Take out the
COVID thing that happened, but they made, you know, money over fists. And, you know, a person may lose his house because his wife or a family member or even them, you know, have a debilitating disease and you know, pay through the teeth, the eyeball in medical debt. And, you know, go broke because they can't pay a mortgage or whatever else. You know, we need new people in Congress then, basically.
Why is it that Europe and most of the other countries like Australia and New Zealand give their people child care from the very beginning to end, pay for all their school and college and their health care? From birth to death, and they get pensions. Why?
Yep.
And their medicine is cheap. It's given to them. Unless you're going to have a boob lift or a facelift, forget it, it's on you, but they take care of you. And we're the only country that doesn't do it. Why?
I know.
Because
and they're not suffering over there. Look at Finland and all those countries. They're living it up. They pay more taxes, it's fine, but they're taken care of.
Yep, because of American greed.
This is ridiculous. The corporations, like Carlin said, taken over the country, and the white supremacist wants to keep everybody down, and they want to keep the corporations and the big living for them and screw everybody else.
Yeah. So the 6-3 decision from the court, that's the Supreme Court, dealt a blow to the estimated 40 million borrowers who had hoped that $430 billion would allow the 2003 HEROES Act to help curb the ongoing costs of their education. The law gave the Secretary of Education authority to make changes to any provisions of applicable student aid program laws in the aftermath of a September 11th attack in 2001. So Joe Biden's saying the fight is not over, even though the Supreme Court voted 6-3 and not going through with the student debt relief. And my thing is, like I said on the top of the program, so they're not going to give thousands of students debt relief, but yet still, they give members of Congress, movie stars, who else? You can think of Brett Favre, sports stars, you know, a break in their PPP loans. They didn't want it. They didn't deserve it. They didn't need it, you know, but yet still they're getting, you know, they get themselves PPP loans and forgive it.
Yeah, Green and Bogart got them.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, and people, why do people still vote for these clowns and these thieves? Why?
Because they lie and people believe it. Let me clear up a lie. I heard the other day that with this affirmative action being shot down, that a bunch of dummies were getting into school. I said, excuse me, but I think I need to clarify something for you. You have to qualify to begin with. You can't go in there with a 0.0 average and then be taken ahead of anybody else. You have to have the grades and the background in order to even have your application considered. So again, let's clarify these lies. .0 did not get ahead of anybody because they were a person of color. So people listening, you tell somebody when they start with that rhetoric, you tell them the truth. That is an absolute lie that the Republicans and the white supremacists keep spreading. It's up to us to start clarifying this stuff.
You know, and talk about what was yesterday,
but we have
to
work
on it now. Go ahead, Susie, you're saying?
I was just saying, and to stay in school, you have to have at least a C average or they toss your ass out. You have to keep up the grades. They don't give them to you. And why is school so expensive, for Christ's sake? How come?
Right.
The books are a fortune. The classes are a fortune. There's no reason for that. And room and board and all that crap. It's ridiculous.
Pianke calling from Missouri. I'm kidding. No, he's not online. Go ahead, Lori.
Okay. That's okay. I would be ready. Let's talk to the members of Congress that got their PPP forgiven, and these are the same people that are against the student, you know, helping student loan debt for, you know, student loan debt to, you know, help with that. So it was called, let's go over what it is so people remember. The Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, gave and forgave loans to 13 Republican members of Congress. The GOP also happens to be largely against student loan forgiveness. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky calls Biden's forgiveness plan a slap in the face to working Americans, by the way. So receive the PPP loan forgiveness. It isn't just Marjorie Taylor Greene who received $180,000. She received $180,000 in a small business loan, and it was forgiven. She's one of them. The announcement comes as the House Judiciary GOP tweeted in response to Biden's student loan, the forgiveness plan. If you take out a loan, you pay it back. How hypocritical are they? While the GOP will likely fight Biden's loan forgiveness plan in court, other Republican members of Congress who fall in this, now here's the list of a few other Republican members that also receive PPP loans but don't think it's right for, you know, students to, you know, get off the hook for anything. So Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, $476,000. Like, he really needed that, didn't he? How about Rep. Greg Pence? He's another Republican from Indiana, $79,441. Vern Buchanan, a Republican from Florida, $2.8 million.
What the hell are you doing for that?
Yeah. Kevin Hearn, a Republican from Oklahoma, $1.7 million. Roger Williams from Texas, a brother Republican, $1.43 million. Brett Guthrie from Kentucky, $4.3 million. Ralph Norman, a Republican from South Carolina, $306,000. I'm sorry, $306,000. $520. Mike Kelly from Pennsylvania, $974,100. Vicki Hertzler from Missouri, another Republican, $451,200. Mark Wayne Mullen, Oklahoma, $988,700. And Carol Miller from West Virginia, $3.1 million.
Holy crap.
Yes. And they didn't have to pay this money back, mind you. All right? So, and the reason...
Laura's making a point afterwards.
There are some Democrats that did receive PPP loans as well. They are not against the student loans,
not against paying back PPP loans, as well as forgiving student loans. For example, Nancy Bass's Wyden, she's Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon. His wife, she received $2.7 million in PPP loans. Nancy Pelosi, partial owner of a California hotel that received PPP loans.
Yeah.
Former law firm Congressman Matt Cartwright from Pennsylvania. Cartwright's wife worked throughout the pandemic receiving a PPP loan. The husband of Susan Lee, Congresswoman from Nevada, having a regional casino that received a PPP loan. So all these people and their spouses, you know, say, hey, well, you know, we're willing to pay about a PPP loan, you know, but we're for giving student debt relief, you know. So at least Democrats stand for one thing, but Republicans who took millions of dollars who didn't deserve it and didn't need it, you know, like, you know, talking down to people who had student loans and everything. You know,
David,
it's pretty disgraceful.
How did they qualify for these loans?
I don't know.
Good question. I don't know. But I want to get back to Susie. Susie was making a point. Go ahead, Susie.
It's like, they're stealing from us. You know, why would they qualify for this? It's not like they're not making wages. Don't they make over $125,000 and all their bennies a year, the Congress people? So they're not on the food line. So why should they get that? And then they have businesses on the side. Is that it too?
I don't think any of these Congress people should have been able to get a penny. Any of them.
No.
Republican or Democrat. I don't care who the hell you are. I don't think any of them should have gotten government money. I do not think that they should have been able to get PPP loans. I think that was sick. I didn't even know that they could do that.
I didn't either.
And I get
Their Congress job isn't their main job. They got a business on the side that they could screw our country with. So they're running businesses on the side? Is that it? How else do you need a PPA? Whatever.
Well, Nancy Pelosi is another one. I mean, I don't mean to diss her, but... really? Come on.
Yeah, but we have to put in consideration that before there were Congress people that had businesses running before, you know, and, you know, I guess you would enhance the business. When they're Congress people, they're elected Congress people, you know, name recognition. So, oh, you own this business, so the patronage will rise and everything. The thing I don't understand is Brett Favre, for example. Brett Favre and Mr. Deflategate, Tom, what's his face? The football player. Tom Brady. You know what? Tom Brady uses PPP money to buy a private boat.
I'm sure the list is very long. We should have probably paid off the deficit with it.
If anybody knows how they qualify for these, I'd be curious.
I'd be curious what makes them so special that they can qualify for these loans.
Yeah.
Well, they're famous. Well, they're not loans, so I guess, you know, that qualifies them.
The
they're famous.
No.
They don't have to pay the tax. They're not loans
Am
anymore.
Am I mistaken or not, but isn't it what gets the people in trouble, the ones with the college loans, is the compounded interest? Isn't
yes.
that what gets
mm-hmm.
people in trouble? Well, what are we going to do about predatory lending?
Exactly.
You'll put some more Republicans in office so that the predatory lending becomes more lucrative?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the loan interest they
pay is like you're paying off the mafia for something. Mm-hmm. You know, a loan will break your legs if you don't pay us back kind of thing. That's what it reminds
me
of.
You end up in your car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shouldn't cost you $500,000, $250,000 mm-hmm. to become a doctor. That's ridiculous. We need doctors and nurses.
We had a call from Minnesota, but, you know, for some reason the person hung up. So Minnesota, the 612 error code callback. We'll have just under 40 minutes left. Yes, so the next thing on the agenda by the way, before we move forward, Jim Jordan, he said, who will ultimately pay the price of Joe Biden's student loan handouts? The 87% of Americans who don't have student loans, which is a lie, which is garbage. Jim Jordan mm-hmm. has been in Congress how long now? And for all those years, he has not sponsored nor co-sponsored a bill. So he should not sit in the corner and be quiet.
No.
And he's on an investigation. The Justice Department said that they're going to go through with an investigation of when he was an assistant coach at Ohio State University, where young boys and young men were raped. And he helped cover it up. You know, the Supreme Court sent that through and everything. So Jim Jordan, TikTok buddy, you're going down, just like your good friend Donald Trump and everything. You know? Mm-hmm. And Matt Gaetz's case has been reopened as well. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing. I'm happy about
that. And they're supposed to be investigating all the people that screwed the government on those PPOs, you know, all that money that they stole from the government. So the investigators are really busy right now, the IRS and all, because all that stolen money. And I hope they get those senators and congresspeople that took money under false pretenses.
Yeah, something that I'd really love to talk about next is the U.S. Supreme Court deals a blow to LGBT community rights in web designer case. On June 30th, in a blow to the LGBTQ rights, United States Supreme Court, conservative majority on Friday, ruled that the constitutional right of free speech allows certain businesses to refuse providing services for same-sex weddings, a decision that the dismantled liberal justices called for, quote-unquote, license to discriminate. The justice, again, ruled 6-3 along ideological lines in favor of Denver-era web designer Laura Smith, who cited her Christian beliefs against gay marriages and challenging a Colorado anti-discrimination law. The justices overturned a lower court's ruling that had rejected Smith's bid for an exemption from a Colorado law that prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and other factors. So basically, the Supreme Court said, you know, because of your sexual orientation, you can be discriminated against. Suppose you want to go and buy a cake, a wedding cake. The person who owned the bakery, who, you know, may be Christian, say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in that. So they can turn you out and turn you away because they don't believe in that. Starting with Lori and then Elaine and then Susie, what do you think about the Supreme Court 6-3 ruling?
I think it's awful. I think they have no business making any sort of ruling about anything like that. And why that was even brought up in court is ridiculous. It's mind-blowing. You know, if this web designer does not want to have a client that's gay, okay, all they have to do is they don't even have to say that it's because they're gay. Can't they just be nice people and just say and give them maybe a ridiculous price or something? I don't know. Can't you do it a different way? Do you have to take it to the Supreme Court? What does this do to people's I mean, what does it do to a person that is gay? How does this make them feel? Awful, absolutely awful. And this is what we're doing, squashing their American dream as well, right?
Right.
Yep.
You know, in a way, aren't they squashing that as well? You know, the person that they wanted to is, you know, I mean, it's beyond my comprehension. All of this week has really got me very upset because I can see the ball is rolling downhill and it's moving faster and faster. And I don't know if we can catch up, you know, starting, of course, with Roe versus Wade. And if we start continuing the ball rolling down the hill, it's getting to be a pretty big ball. It really is. So I don't know how this is going to end this year. I don't know.
You know, the thing about contraception, you know, the rolling back everything that people fought for, you know, is
of
like
course.
We're going back instead of progressing. While the world progressing, mm-hmm. America is going back. Why do mm-hmm. we all shoot ourselves in the foot like that? You know, for example, energy efficiency, Denmark and Germany lead the way in terms of, you know, solar energy. They're light mm-hmm. years ahead of the world, and America's still dependent on oil, Saudi Arabian oil. You know, what the hell
Just
is that?
Look at their transit system that they have in Europe. You don't need a car.
Mm-hmm.
In Italy, you just get on the train and just go. You know, I mean, if you
mm-hmm.
want to have a little car in the city, that's great. But really, you can go from city to city, take a train. It's mind-boggling. We're told that we are the greatest country in the world, but you know what? That's not true. We really are not. If you traveled a little bit in your life, you can see that that's not true. It really isn't true. You know, even the food, I'll go off on a tangent for a second, but even the food in Italy, they do not use GMOs, genetically modified organisms, in their food. It's banned.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many foods that are banned in Europe. I could do a whole show on it because I'm really into that stuff, but there are so many
mm-hmm.
foods that are banned in Europe that are eaten here. It's sickening. And we could
mm-hmm.
have a show
mm-hmm.
about it. That's why we have a lot of sick people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the same, and what it all goes back to, in my opinion, is the money. It all goes back to the money. They don't want to spend
mm-hmm.
the money, you know, to make the transit better, to make, you know, education more affordable, for anything because of their profits. It all goes back to greed. That's it. I mean, it's very
mm-hmm.
simple concept for them, greed.
Yeah.
And it's
I don't know what
to say.
Yeah,
no,
it is. Because I don't see the reason why, you know, women who fought for women's rights back in the 60s and 70s and, you know, got Roe versus Wade. Because getting rid of Roe versus Wade not going to stop people from getting an abortion. It's going to be more dangerous now because doctors fear doing it because a woman may go to prison and lose a license. So what will happen now is that women will go to these backdoor alleys or try
mm-hmm.
having an abortion by themselves using a coat hanger and probably kill themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this religious ideology where these court jesters, Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
justices on the right, you know, talking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, making these rulings based on their Christianity, you know, it's hurting America. It's not helping. It's killing. It's destroying America. And it needs to stop, you know? It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so now, to me, you know, religion is like a penis. It's perfectly fine thing for one to have and take pride in, but when one takes it out and waves it in my face, then that's where we have a problem, you know? So religion is just like a penis to me, you know? Keep it to yourself. And I'm sure you ladies would agree with me, you know?
Yeah.
And we're elected officials. We didn't elect religions. Within the United States Constitution, it's not a church, it's not a mosque, it's not a synagogue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe so much so in religion, then they're clergymen, they're Catholic priests, be whoever, whichever religion you believe in. You know, don't come here and try to overturn things and, you know, shake things up with your religion. Nobody cares for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you were talking about, you know, birth control pills, you know, birth control, and there is a case in court right now, and I don't think they haven't come to a judgment yet, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll remember Josh Hawley.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, Erin Hawley, she is the one that is fighting to end the FDA approval of abortion pills. She's behind it,
mm-hmm.
by the way. I don't know if people
mm-hmm.
know that, but her name is Erin Hawley. She's an attorney, and she's the wife of the Missouri senator at the center of the federal lawsuit in Texas that could cancel approval of a common drug used to terminate pregnancies, threatening abortion, access in Kansas and across the country. Hawley is one of the key lawyers fighting to end the Food and Drug Administration's decades of approval of mifepristone drug use and the medication abortions after the Supreme Court last year overturned Roe versus Wade. Hawley, appellate attorney, who was also involved in that case, is married to, like I said, Josh Hawley. So there you
mm-hmm.
go. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
mm-hmm.
And, you know, why she's on this mission, I don't understand, you know. And it goes on to say that the Hawleys, well, she's a senior counsel at the Alliance Defending Freedom, which pursues lawsuits on behalf of social conservative causes. So there you go. And she
mm-hmm.
helped draft and balance Mississippi anti-abortion law that led to the decision overturning Roe.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Again, Christianity come into play again, where it don't belong, and we'll have these
mm-hmm.
religious zealots and MAGA idiots who, you know, don't have common sense. You may have, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the education in the world, but having an education don't mean you have common sense. Now this
mm-hmm.
woman who's Josh Hawley's wife, you
mm-hmm.
know, I mean, how evil can one be? You know that thing you're saying about, you know, women sticking up for each other? Then this woman have a special place in hell, if hell does exist, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, pushing through these things to hurt women is just unconscionable and sickening and vile and disgusting. And the person running against Josh Hawley, he's a veteran. I hope he takes Josh Hawley to the cleaners from next November. You know, I mean, we have dangerous people in the United States Senate and in the House and across all these state houses and state legislators who, you know, is boosted by their Christianity and boosted by, you know, being supporters of Donald Trump. It has to go. Enough is enough. There have always been on the wrong side of history, and now
mm-hmm.
they're doubling down, and they're on the wrong side of history again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand what makes her think that she has the right to fight against an abortion pill. What does that have to do with her own life? How does that affect her life? She could have 20 kids if she wanted to. She could have 20 different babies if she wanted to. Why does
mm-hmm.
it bother if her next-door neighbor doesn't want to have that baby for whatever reason
mm-hmm.
she has? Why does that? Why
exactly.
does she care?
Again.
I
because it's against her. It's against her religion. Mm-hmm. It's against her religion, and she's trying to dictate how other people live. It's against her religion and her beliefs, so she's trying to dictate. Mm-hmm.
Well, I get that, David. I get that. They all say the same thing. It says in Genesis that, you know, marriage should between a, be a man and a woman as well. It says that. You know, I was told that last week. I to that story. But they pass judgment on people and, you know, and professing to be Christians, they're not judges. They're not juries. They're human like we are. They're no better than us, and they don't have a right to tell someone they can't take an abortion pill. They don't know their circumstances in their life. They don't have a clue. So who are these people that can be judge and jury? Why? What makes them judge and jury? God says it's bad.
The Bible says it's bad. So therefore, you know. I'm a spokesperson for the Lord. I talk to him daily, and that's how these people operate. You know, that's their thinking. Okay, so I have limited time left. Last question before we tell everybody goodbye. We have 24 minutes. Governor Ron DeSantis ends permanent alimony in Florida, and women's groups are upset with him. What are your thoughts on this move, Lori?
Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a bad thing? Will he suffer for it? Come primary time.
First of all, what does he care about women getting alimony? Does he realize that if his wife decided to divorce him, that he would have to pay her alimony, and then if she after, and then, you know, he would be sort of cutting his nose off, because what would her kids do for money? I mean, it just makes, why? Why does he?
Hitler, he wants to be Hitler. You know, we were talking about the abortion thing because you didn't come around to me. But I would like investigate all the GOP and see how many of their wives, girlfriends, and daughters had abortions and that they flew into other states if they couldn't get it in their state. And isn't all this against the Constitution, separation of church and state? They have no right to tell you what to do because it's against their religion. It isn't my religion, and that is against the Constitution. So why did the Supreme Court vote like that? Reverse Roe versus Wade, whatever, and, you know, the abortion rights and all these other rights. It's separation of church and state. God damn it. It pisses me off.
I know.
You know, they're
you.
Voting. They're handing down all this, you know, against religion, against, I mean, in favor of their religion and screw everybody else. That's the constitutional right off the bat. It should supersede all this bullshit. And I bet you. What do you want to make a bet? They investigate how many abortions they've already have, all of them, right?
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, and they're taking birth control and they're taking those morning after pills and all this other stuff.
A couple years back, I think it was Missouri or Ohio, one of those states where a right to life, family values person who was a Republican, big in the state. And, you know, he was caught on tape, recorded tape, saying, begging his mistress to have an abortion. And, you know, I have to look that up, you know, and set the next show. But this is the normal operation of people like this. They're like Christian and family values and what have you. But they have tons of mistresses, tons of outside kids. Or if they don't want kids, the you know, force their mistress to have an abortion. You know, so it's a thing of do as I say, not as I do, under the quiet. Look at Larry Craig, the former senator from where was it? Idaho. You know, he was one of the biggest staunchest conservatives there are in the history of the United States Senate. And what did he do? Ran family values, but yet still he was caught in the bathroom, toe-tapping, trying to cruise gay sex in a public restroom. You know, so these people cannot be trusted. They're liars. They're hypocrites.
And come 2024, we'll have to try and do everything in our power to vote them out. But these people are destroying America. These Republicans mean no good to America. They're only for their corporate friends, their rich individual friends, and making sure that they have a job after they've served in Congress, either by, you know, being voted out or being, you know, like resigning or retiring. And they have this nice cushy job. You know, that should stop. And,
I was going to say, also tonight you were talking about that web designer that case that they had, they didn't want to design for gay people. The guy that she mentioned in there didn't even know that he was, his name was in it, and he's married, and he didn't even order a web page from her. So it was all bullshit.
And how did that case make it to the Supreme Court? That is what blows my mind more than anything else.
Did they investigate this?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. How did that case ever make it to the Supreme Court? There's one more thing I'd like to talk about. Since David brought up DeSantis, DeSatan, he also signed a bill prohibiting medical marijuana at Florida recovery residences, even if it's recommended by a doctor. So he signed this bill that prohibits sober living facilities, these must be rehab, obviously, from allowing residents to possess or use medical marijuana, even if the patient is certified by a doctor to legally use cannabis therapeutically in accordance with the state law. All other doctor-prescribed pharmaceutical medications may be permitted, however. So the governor signed this legislation on Tuesday, and he separately gave final approval to a hemp regulations measure that bans the sale of legal smokeless hemp products to people under 21. So this man, crazy. So why does he care if someone is in a rehab center and they're there for addictions on maybe heroin, cocaine, I don't know, drug addictions, alcohol addiction, whatever. They're in a recovery. They're in this place to get better. And if the doctor says that medical marijuana will help calm you or whatever it's supposed to do to help them, who the hell is he? Is he a doctor?
Nope.
No.
That's the question.
He thinks he's God. He thinks he's God.
He's special and important, so, you know.
Florida better wake up. Florida better wake up.
I'm sure his wife was thrilled that he signed that she won't get alimony.
Can you imagine that?
What an idiot. That makes him real popular, right? Aren't we half the population? Screw you, guy.
Let's see, 6 week abortion, and now they can't get alimony. Wow. You know, is he picking on women by any chance?
Oh, you think?
I think.
And you can't have an abortion. You can't have contraception. Now, you're not going to get any alimony when I divorce you. So, I mean... And he's made, you know, and like you say, the fairness doctrine, you're not getting the same wages as a man doing the same job. Wonderful.
Elaine, go ahead. You have a comment?
Elaine, go ahead. You're saying something?
I'm going to say we've got to start changing the narrative. That is not an abortion pill. That is a period pill. That is a pill to bring on your period. That pill is used for a multitude of women's problems. One is, I just forgot the name of it.
RU486?
Anyways, it's an inflation of the uterus. It's used when a woman has...
endometriosis?
Yes, endometriosis. That pill is used for that. That is not an abortion pill. Why do we keep repeating Republican narrative? Why? And something else I'd like to bring up. R for Republican. Mm-hmm. It does not stand for Republican anymore. It stands for religion. And I'm getting a little tired of them saying the Constitution. The Constitution says separation of church and state. Three, if we don't become a United States and we go along with this crap about states' rights, we might as well give it up. You know what? I might as well pack my bags and go to Italy.
Yep.
Me too.
I do have a dual citizenship.
I don't.
Oh, San Marino does.
I think I want to go to Italy. I think I want to go to Canada.
I'll go to Great Britain. I'll go to Great Britain or Canada or Jamaica, whichever one. Okay, so everything is going to hell at Fox News, it seems. As a network reporter lost her certification as trusted news source, they face losing their top advertisers and tons of money. Now, my question is, how did they get the status of trusted news source? We kind of mixed stuff up. So, you know, I mean, how does Fox News get a certification like that? That's ridiculous.
They don't have news. They only have opinions.
It's
not a news source. It's an opinion channel. And I don't agree with their opinion, so I never watch it, but it's not new.
It's propaganda.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So after six-plus long, hard years, it looks like Fox News may soon be forced to pay for its sins. Nandin Jami, the head of the Check My Ads, booked to social media with the bombshell announcement that Fox News is losing its certification as trusted news. You know, so they've been downgraded, and the NewsGuard rating is what rates news organizations for being trusted and having good information and everything. So after 6 years of losing it, they shouldn't have it in the first place. And that's why the media can't be taken seriously, because if you look at Fox News and think they're a credible media organization, then you need your head examined. So what do you think about gay conversion therapy? That's a big topic of discussion in some circles.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. I think it's crazy. You know,
you cannot reverse your brain wiring. So they can do all they want, and it's never going to work. You are what you are.
I think people are just born. And
you're born like that.
Your hormones. There's a science to it. I've never looked into the science of being gay, but I am sure that there is a science to it. And you're right, Susie.
It's in the brain. You're born that way. You cannot change it, and nobody can change it for you.
You know, our Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, his story, I've read his story. He is a brilliant man, first of all. I love him to death. But as a young man growing up, he knew that he was different when he was in school. He did try to change his mindset. He went through school feeling alone, and he wasn't interested in girls. And so when he graduated, he went off to I think it was the Navy or the Army. He went off to, and when he came back, I think he went there. He said he went there because they thought maybe it could change his mindset, et cetera. You know, talking about that, his mindset. And when he came back, he decided that no, I can't change my mindset. This is who I am. And that's when he decided to come out. And he's a brilliant man. I mean, he's brilliant. Mm. He's. I mean, what does it matter? What does it matter? I don't get it. What does it matter?
I got a message to
and it's always been there, and people are idiots. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, like Lou's partner used to say, my husband's partner, his wife said, it isn't catchy, so why bother? I mean, why are you worried about it? It isn't affecting mm-hmm. you. They
yeah.
are, you know, just mind your own damn business.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got a message
yes,
to the religious people. If you honestly and truly believe in God, then ask yourself this question. Does God make junk? You seem to think that people that are different are junk.
Yeah.
I don't think they're junk. Does
mm-hmm.
God make junk? If you believe in God, the answer is no. He does not make junk. He made different
mm-hmm.
types of people to see if we mm-hmm. will be a tolerant human being.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I think we're failing mm-hmm. in a few places.
Yeah.
Really...
You know, back in 1964, Republicans, this counterculture war, the bring back a cultural war with Barry Goldwater, and ever since then they've been on a tear. We need to put them in a place now, you know, and the only way we can do that is by registering, going on the road to vote, fighting to keep these rights we have now, like voting rights, because we see in Arkansas, we see in Nebraska, the Bible Belt, Florida, all the red states, that they're trying to impede non-white people from voting, and this shenanigans, the charade they have saying, oh, you know, illegal people ain't getting a chance to vote, or dead people voting, is nonsense, because the very few cases that came up show that it was their people, right-wing MAGA supporters, who did a cheating by voting twice, by voting for a dead spouse, things like that, you know, so... We have to keep the feet to the fire and keep them in check and make sure that the next election will whoop their asses, because I'm so sick of these people. I am tired of them. They have to go to a strong America. And once again,
yep.
I say, Republicans want to put national security in the hands of a man who can't keep sexual fantasies about his own daughter to himself. We're talking about Donald
mm-hmm.
Trump here. You know,
yep.
I don't know if you saw the Howard Stern interview where he said he was bragging about Ivanka's
yep.
breasts and how if she wasn't his daughter, he'd have sex with her, he'd be dating her. You want
yep.
a man like that in the White House again? How disgusting
that
and sick
just,
is that?
That is appalling. That is just sick. I mean, it's sick-minded. There is something twisted
mm-hmm.
in him that no one can repair. He just
mm-hmm.
needs to be
mm-hmm.
locked. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know
yeah,
we only have
I don't
a couple,
know.
I know we only have a couple minutes left, but I don't know if all of you heard about the shooting. There was a black party in Baltimore. Two people were killed and 28 were wounded.
Yeah.
And this is a black party. You know, it's not. It was just a neighborhood having a party. They don't know why. They don't know what the motive was, but someone just went in
mm-hmm.
and started shooting. And the age ranges are 13 to 32 that were shot. And the 18-year-old woman and a 20-year-old man were killed. And like I said, 28
mm-hmm.
injured. But we don't have
mm-hmm.
a gun control problem in this country or anything like that. We're okay. Right, in this country, no problems with guns.
No, that's the only constitution right that they keep on talking about, the right to bear arms, even though it was
yeah.
muzzle loaders back then. But,
yeah.
You know, right to life and all that other stuff. Nah, you know.
Oh.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
abortion.
And keep in mind
that
July 1st, is the day that Florida
yep.
has said that you don't need a license to own a gun.
Yep.
It's an open carry state now.
Yeah,
yes. So you know, I can say in the near future that there will be a lot of gun violence in Florida now because of that law, that stupid law.
And I also think the immigrant one goes into effect in July as well. where they're not their papers in order to work in Florida. So there's going to be a lot of rotting through to from Florida.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Elaine, thank you so much for calling in. Susan, thank you for calling in. We'll have to run on everything. And a call from Minnesota. Yes, ma'am. I wish a call from Minnesota didn't hang up on everything. You know, because I'd love if, you know, more interaction happened with new callers and what have you. You know, because we love hearing from new callers. You know, I wonder if that was Mike from Minnesota. He's called here a couple of times and everything. And yeah, I personally like when he calls and everything. He gives a different perspective. He may be wrong, but that's his perspective, you know. So thank you, Minnesota, for calling me. I wish you stayed around. All right, so that's our show for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night, same time, same place. This has been Season 5, Episode 14. The topic was American Dream, Logical Fallacy, or Living Nightmare. To me, it's a living nightmare. How about you, Lori?
Oh, it can be a living nightmare some days. And everyone have a good evening. Be safe. And we'll see you tomorrow evening. Bye now. Lori, pick up from Michigan.
And I'm David Franklin, New Mexico. Good night.
Good night.
Just watching as the world goes there are so many great things to see popping in the grave. The sun's beaming down between the leaves. Thank you.
Thank you.